service at 5. 1 Timothy 6, Paul is finishing out his epistle, his first epistle to young Timothy, the pastor at Ephesus. And he tells him in verse 12 to fight the good fight of faith, to lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Jesus Christ, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. So our title comes from verse 15, the only potentate. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray that you would use your word in our hearts today as we lift up Jesus. May we glorify him. And Lord, may you meet with us and use your powerful word in our hearts to draw us closer to you, to bring us to salvation if we're not saved. But may your will be done. And we are grateful for this privilege and thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Jesus Christ, the only potentate. One of those words that most of us don't even know what it means. And I had to look it up myself. But it means the all-powerful ruler. That's Jesus. Amen. As we will see, he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is Jehovah. He is God. And he is the one that has made it possible for us to fight the good fight of faith, which we read about in verse 12, and to have a good profession of our faith, as we also read about in verse 12. But it's all about Jesus. If you open your hymnal, it's about Jesus. Our salvation is not in a creed, it's in a person. Amen? He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And so it's an encouraging passage about the person of Christ and what that should mean for us. And those both things are contained in this passage. So let's start with what God wants from us as we reflect upon the fact that he is our Lord, he is our potentate, and then focus on the person of Christ. So what does he say? Because Christ is the only potentate, we should be fighting. Fighting not each other, amen, but fighting the good fight of faith. We are in a battle. The day that we get saved, God says we are a soldier of Jesus Christ because we are fighting against the devil and against this old world for the cause of souls. We're to fight. And God has even given us weapons to fight with. Amen? You're holding one in your hand, and that's the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 6:17, which is the Word of God. And then the very next verse in that passage in Ephesians 5 says, praying with all perseverance and supplication in the Spirit. So we have the sword and we have prayer. And we can fight the good fight of faith for the cause of souls. We also need to be having a good profession. Notice verse 12. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. God wants us to live what we profess. We profess to be Christians. We profess to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, I want you to have a good profession. Look, if you would, at Ephesians 4:1. And we'll see this. But as we recognize the lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives, this is what he wants from us. He wants us to fight the good fight, and he wants us to live like we should live. Ephesians 4:1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Now, we talked about this. Our primary vocation is we are Christians, Christ followers. But once we accepted Christ as our Savior, He assigned some other professions to us, didn't He? And one of them is to be a soldier, to fight. One of them is to be a servant, to serve Jesus with all that we have and all that He's given us. And one of them is to be a steward, because He owns everything and we're just stewards of the gifts that He's given us, of our physical possessions, even of our time. And we're to be walking worthy, as we see here in Ephesians 4:1, of that profession that we professed the day we got saved. Let's look at another one, Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. It says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Notice it says walk worthy. Our Christian lives should be a reflection of the one who has saved us. Our behavior should be a good profession, because He is our Lord. He is the only potentate. And so we're to be fighting the good fight. We're to be professing a good profession. And verse 14, we'll come back to 13 later. We're to be watching for the return of Jesus. Notice it says that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Keep fighting and keep professing a good profession until Jesus comes. Which means we're to be expecting it, we're to be watching for it, we're to be excited about it. Go to Titus 2:13 and we'll see it again. But honestly, we are so fortunate. Not only are we fortunate enough to be born in the church age, the age of grace, but we are fortunate enough to actually be able to look around us and see that we're in the end times. It's obvious that His return is soon. But notice Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're to be looking. We're to be expecting Jesus to come at any moment. Look at 1 Peter 1:7 quickly, if you would. Over to the right a few books. 1 Peter 1:7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus has made us one of His, and He is now the only potentate of our lives, the only Lord of our lives, we're to be fighting, we're to be professing a good profession, and looking for the return of Jesus. We're told in 1 John 3:3, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Even as he is pure. And then down to verse 16 of our passage, 1 Timothy 6, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. You know, if you had to sum up why we're here, a lot of people would say to witness. That's true. Some people would say to serve Jesus. That's true. Some people say to praise the Lord. That's also true. But if you had to wrap it up into one thing, you know what it would be? To bring Him glory. Because He's worthy of it. And everything that we do, we sing this song, 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do what? All to the glory of God. We're here to bring Him glory. Because He is worthy of all honor and glory. And power. For how long? Forever. Everlasting. And our lives should be spent bringing Him honor and glory. David said, let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. in Psalm 71:8. Ephesians 3:21, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. We're here to bring him glory. 2 Peter 3:18, grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. And so as we reflect upon the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ in our own Christian walk, God says, I want you to fight. I want you to hold a good profession. I want you to expect and be living for the return of Jesus, which could be at any moment. And I want you to live a life that brings honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's worthy of it. But if it's okay, let's go through the passage again. But this time, let's talk about Jesus, if we could. It says there in verse 13, he quickeneth all things. That word quickeneth means to give life. Life comes from God, who is the author of life and the owner of life. That's why in the Bible, people often misunderstand what it means by death. They see the word death and they think it's talking about physical death, and it usually isn't. That's why Jesus said to his disciples about Lazarus, he sleepeth. And they said, what's good that he's taking a nap? And Jesus said to say, he's dead. He's physically dead. But I'm going to take care of that problem. And he brought him back to life. Because life and death in the Bible only has to do with God. If you are one of God's, you have life that he's given you. If you're not, you're dead. The Bible says we are born in dead in trespasses and sins. In Ephesians 2:1. Jesus quickens. Jesus is the one who came to bring life and to give life, because he is life. Doesn't he say that in John 14:6? I am the way, the truth, and the life. So he is the possessor of life and gives life. If you go to John 5:21, he explains that he came to bring and quicken with the life that he possesses. John 5:21. It says, for as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Jesus quickens. Jesus gives life. Why should we serve God? Why should we fight? Why should we be worthy of our profession, be waiting for the return of Jesus and give him glory? Because he gave us life. That's why. Because we were dead, on our way to eternal death in a place called hell. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And Jesus changed all that through salvation. Amen? He quickened us. And like I mentioned, 1 John 5, he that had the Son had life. He gave us life. So Christ is the life giver. And then it says in verse 15, this fancy word, which in times past he shall show his the blessed and only potentate. Again, that word means the all-powerful ruler. If there were multiple kings and there was one king over all the other kings, he would be the potentate. That's Jesus. And there can only be one ultimate ruler over all other rulers, can't there? That's Jesus. You know what Jesus said? He said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, in Luke 6:46, and do not the things which I say? Why keep referring to me as the all-powerful, all-ruling Lord, but not obey me? That's a very good question, isn't it? But Jesus is the only potentate. He has the power to forgive sins. He has the power over creation. He has the power to give life and raise the dead. And he displayed this power, of course, while he was on earth. But God says there in verse 15, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That is talking about Jesus. Look at Revelation 17 and I'll show you this. Revelation 17:14. The only potentate is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There can only be one King of Kings. There can only be one Lord of Lords, and it's Jesus Christ. Revelation 17:14. These shall make war with the Lamb, so we know who it's talking about. Amen. And the Lamb shall overcome them, for He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. The Lamb is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Look at it again in Revelation 19, where it talks about His return to the earth. Well, it's kind of a long passage, but I'm going to read it all. Verse 11, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's Jesus. When he returns, he doesn't return as a babe in a manger, does he? He returns as a conquering king. That is the one that we serve. That is the one that saved us. The one that is life and gives life. The one who is the only ruler of the entire universe. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And it says in verse 16 of our passage, who only hath immortality. Only Jesus always has been and always will be. He has no beginning, He has no end, because He is God. We're told in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. That's Jesus. He refers to Himself in Revelation 1:8 as the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, which is and which was and is to come, the Almighty. Jesus Christ only hath immortality, only has life. Only, He is the only potentate. He is the only King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if you look at verse 16, He is the only light. We live in a dark world, don't we? And it just keeps getting darker. Jesus came to bring light to this world. He said so. And He said one of the condemnations, He said, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Right there's why people don't get saved, because of sin, because they don't want to give up their sin. They don't want to acknowledge that they're a sinner. They don't want to come to the light and have the light shine on them and point out the fact that they are sinners. And yes, they wrap it up in many excuses, but that's really the bottom line. But He is, it says verse 16, He dwells in the light which no man can approach unto. Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. I'm not one of the lights. I'm not some of the light. I am the light. Amen. And if you're born again today, you have been transformed, as it says in Acts 26:18, from darkness to light. And we're told in the New Testament, Ephesians 5, therefore walk as children of light. This is the message, 1 John 1, that we've heard of Him, verse 5, God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. So God wants us to, in this passage, reflect upon the person of Christ to the point that it has an impact on our behavior, which is how it should be. As Jesus said, don't call me Lord and then live in disobedience. Because I may be your declared Lord, but you're certainly not treating me as your Lord if you're not going to obey me. And so He's saying to us, if I am the only potentate, if I am the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, if I am life, if I am light, if I am the only one that has immortality, then fight the good fight of faith. Hold a good profession. Wait for me to come back, which could be at any moment, and live for that. And live your life in a way that brings honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He is the only potentate. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And by the way, Jesus never asks us to do anything. He commands us. Amen? There's a difference. He doesn't come along and say, if you feel like it, if you're in the mood, if it suits you. No, Jesus never says that one time in the New Testament, does He? You know why? Because He is the only potentate. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He sets the rules. He gives the commandments. And He says, obey. He never once makes them optional. He never once says, it's up to you. No, He commands. And He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Obey what I've commanded you to do, which is to bring me glory, which is to fight the good fight of faith, which is to hold a good profession and expect me at any moment and live for my return. Because is He worthy of those commands? Of course. So we should obey them. The only potentate. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your precious word. Thank You for this passage that lifts up our Savior in such a beautiful way and reminds us that He is the only ultimate ruler of everything. And Lord, may we treat Him as such by obeying His commands, by fighting and living like a Christian should live, looking for His return and doing everything in our power to bring Him honor and glory through our lives. Please, Lord, work in our hearts and lives. May this be our goal, to honor You. Lord, if there are areas in our life we are not honoring You, may we get that sorted. Lord, if there's someone in our service not born again, may they realize Jesus offers them eternal life through what He did at Calvary. They just need to repent and accept it, and I pray they will. So have Your way in our hearts. We love You in Jesus' name. Amen.